Throughout history, people have pondered what happens after we die. Different cultures and religions provide a range of viewpoints on the afterlife, but today we'll focus on what the Bible says about the state of the dead, while also touching on some non-canonical sources. Let's begin with the biblical perspective. According to the Bible, the afterlife is a multifaceted topic with varying stages and experiences depending on one's faith. In the Old Testament, the concept of Sheol is introduced. Sheol is depicted as a shadowy realm where the dead reside, both the righteous and the wicked. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom." It is a realm of the dead, somewhat neutral and more of a holding place. The New Testament, however, offers more details. Jesus speaks of a place called Abraham's bosom or paradise, where the righteous dead go. Luke 16 verses 22 to 23 says, "The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side." Luke further mentions in chapter 23:43 Jesus' words about paradise being a place that first receives the souls of the righteous and the forgiven. This is contrasted with Hades, a place of torment for the wicked. However, where is that place where someone can easily see Hades, the place of torment and paradise at the same time? Where can one see both the souls of the righteous and the ungodly together in close proximity? There is only one place in the entire universe, the third heaven. The third heaven is the first place that receives the souls of men who have left the earth realm through death. Paul the Apostle was once taken to the third heaven, but couldn't describe what he heard and saw in this mysterious place. Here are his words, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell." What did Paul hear or see in the third heaven, but was restricted from sharing? An ancient text known as the Apocryphal Book of Enoch sheds more light on what Paul saw. Enoch, a Bible character briefly mentioned in the book of Genesis, was taken by God to the celestial realms. He was shown the 10 heavens of God and gave a detailed description of each heaven. To explore in detail the 10 heavens of God revealed to the prophet Enoch, check the link to my video about the 10 heavens Enoch saw in the description. It will take you through the journey of the different mysterious heavens from the book of Enoch. So, Enoch's journey through the first and second heavens was extraordinary, but took a turn when he reached the third heaven. What he saw there gave him mixed feelings. He saw heaven and hell coexisting in one location, just as Jesus described in Luke 16. 2 Enoch 8-10 gives the exact words of Enoch. "And those men took me then, and led me up onto the third heaven, and placed me there. And I looked downward and saw the produce of these places, such as has never been known for goodness. And I saw all the sweet flowering trees and beheld their fruits, which were sweet smelling, and all the foods borne by them bubbling with fragrant exhalation. And in the midst of the trees, the tree of life in that place where the Lord rests when he goes up into paradise. This tree is of ineffable goodness and fragrance, and adorned more than every existing thing. On all sides, it is in form gold-looking and vermilion and fire-like, and it covers all and produces all fruits. Its root is in the garden at the earth's end, and paradise is between corruptibility and incorruptibility. Two springs come out, which send forth honey and milk, and their springs send forth oil and wine. And they separate into four parts and go round with quiet course and go down into the paradise of Eden between corruptibility and incorruptibility. I said, how very sweet is this place. And those men said to me, this place, O Enoch, is prepared for the righteous who endure all manner of offense from those that exasperate their souls, who avert their eyes from iniquity, make righteous judgment, give bread to the hungry, cover the naked with clothing, raise up the fallen, help injured orphans, walk without fault before the face of the Lord, and serve him alone. For them is prepared this place for eternal inheritance. But here is the contrast. and those two men led me up onto the northern side and showed me there a very terrible place. There were all manner of tortures in that place, cruel darkness and unilluminated gloom. There is no light there but murky fire constantly flaming aloft, and there is a fiery river coming forth. That whole place is everywhere fire, and everywhere there is frost and ice, thirst and shivering. While the bonds are very cruel and the angels fearful and merciless, bearing angry weapons and merciless torture, I said, "Whoa, how very terrible is this place?" And those men said to me, "This place, O Enoch, is prepared for those who dishonor God, who on earth practice sin against nature, which is child corruption after the sodomitical manner, witchcraft, and who boast of their wicked deeds, stealing, lies, calumnies, envy, rancor, fornication, murder, and who curse, steal the souls of men, who, seeing the poor, take away their goods and themselves wax rich, injuring them for other men's goods, who, being able to satisfy the hungry, made the hungering die, being able to clothe, strip the naked, and who knew not their creator and bowed to soulless and lifeless gods who cannot see nor hear, vain gods who also built human images and bow down to unclean handiwork. For all these is prepared this place among these for eternal inheritance." So, we see from Enoch's account where the souls of the dead are. However, the book of Revelation describes a future resurrection and final judgment where the dead are raised and judged according to their deeds. Revelation 20 verses 12 to 13. This is the final judgment. All souls in the third heaven will be summoned before the throne of God. After this judgment, believers are promised eternal life in a new heaven and new earth. Revelation 21 verses 1 to 4. While the wicked face eternal separation from God forever. So, what are dead people doing right now according to the Bible? The righteous dead are in a state of peace and comfort, awaiting the final resurrection and eternal life with God. The wicked, however, are in a state of separation and torment, also waiting for the eternal judgment. The book of Enoch, supporting the words of Jesus and the testimony of the Apostle Paul, along with various cultural beliefs, adds layers of complexity and variation to this understanding. From restful waiting places, humanity's quest to understand the afterlife reflects our deep longing for connection and meaning beyond this life. I hope this exploration has given you some insights into the fascinating topic of the afterlife. If you enjoyed this video, please give it a thumbs up, share your thoughts in the comments, and don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more intriguing content. Mark 11 verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Open your heart and believe so that the blessings of this prayer will come to you. Say this prayer with faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You, the Lord, you created the earth and the heavens and all that is in them. I give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, God, for everything you have done in my life. I'm grateful for the good things and even the tough times. You've been with me through it all, and for that, I say thank you from the bottom of my heart. God of mercy and compassion, please look with pity on me. I know I have sinned against you. I ask for your forgiveness. Father, Lord, have mercy on my mistakes and failures. Every mistake I have done in word, action, and deeds, Father, forgive me. For your word clearly says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me. Now in the name of Jesus, I declare the power of God against any work of the enemy. Every secret agenda the devil and his cohorts have plotted against me be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Father, your word said Christ was manifested that the works of the enemy might be destroyed. Every work of the enemy against my marriage, my job, my business, my career, my family and children be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, I declare fruitfulness in every area of my life. Let the power of Christ touch my life so I bear fruit. I am fruitful in my life, in my ministry, in my marriage, in my business, in my career, in my job, and in my finances, for the Lord gives us power to make wealth. Let prosperity be my portion in Jesus' name. I will not lack but have in abundance. Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. Anything that hinders my service, Father, deliver me. God, save me from myself. Save me from people who will not lead me to you. Save me from desires which are not godly, things which are not in line with your word. Father, help me obey your word. Sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, make me strong. Make me fervent in you. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. Father, restore all the things I have lost, either by my ignorance or carelessness. You said in your word that the years the locust has eaten in our lives, you will restore us. Thank you, Lord, for restoring me, my family, my marriage, my career, and my ministry. Father, you sent forth your word to heal our diseases and sicknesses. I declare your healing from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Father, heal my family, friends, and loved ones. Let your healing be their portion too. I boldly declare that I am a child of God. I walk in victory through faith. I am the head and never the tail. I am what God says I am in Jesus' mighty name. I boldly declare Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, my Father God, for hearing my prayer and answering my prayer. Amen. As this message has blessed you, type the word Amen in the comment section and share with us your testimony too in the comment section. In the name of Jesus Christ, all these blessings have come upon you now. Beloved, help us spread the gospel of Christ and reach more people all over the world by liking this video and sharing this message with your family, friends, and loved ones. We really appreciate your great support. We plead with you to subscribe so you can receive more videos that will revive your spirit and uplift your life. Christ came that all people will be saved. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, this is the right time to do so. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and because of me, you came to die on the cross of Calvary. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Today, I boldly declare that you are my Lord and personal Savior. Come into my heart and lead me. As you have said this prayer, congratulations, you have been born again. Please look for a pastor in a Bible-believing church and tell him you have given your life Christ. You will need to fellowship with other believers to learn about your new life. Prayer is a very powerful tool God has given us. With prayer, our problems receive solution and we get comforted by God. Please leave your prayer request in the comment section. We are constantly interceding on your behalf before God. Trust me, friends, our God will answer your every prayer request. Sometimes we may not reply to your prayer request in the comment section, but that does not mean we are not praying for you. We have you at heart and your requests. May the grace of our Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you now and forevermore. Amen.